evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program, very remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, August 3rd, 2020. The South Sudan police say they have arrested in connection with the killing of three children over the weekend.
We have arrested everyone who has knowledge in regard to this crime.
And passengers abducted on Juba Mundri Road speak out.
All of them were freed. As I speak to you, two of those freed were with me, but they left this morning.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Police in Juba says it has arrested 16 suspects in connection to the murder of three children in Rock City, a suburb of Juba, on Saturday. The Inspector General of Police, Majak Akech Malok, who is leading the investigation, says the suspects are neighbors, relatives of the children's parents, and construction workers who were building a house in the neighborhood. He says information circulating in the social media regarding the killers of the children are, and he urges the public to be patient and wait for correct information from police. Malok says they have enough information to narrow down on the criminals. He says the police will brief President Salva Kiir about the latest information as the nation grieves the death of their three innocent children. President Salva Kiir also issued a statement on Monday directing all security agencies to join in the search for the culprits who slaughtered the three children on Saturday in Juba. The killing has drawn global condemnation from South Sudanese. For VOA News, David Monodanga reports from Juba.
All three children were found dead with their heads slit in their house, according to neighbors. Reports of their murders first appeared on social media last Saturday. The motive and identity of the killers remains unclear. The children were 11, 7, and 5 years old. President Kiir today urged anyone with information about the killers to contact police. In a statement released by his office, Kiir called on all South Sudanese to stand in solidarity with the parents of the deceased and to pray for them. At a news conference in Juba earlier today, General Majak Akech Malok, Inspector General of the South Sudan Police Service, said in Arabic that false information about the killers is circulating in social media, and he urged the public to wait for accurate information from police.
We have arrested everyone who has knowledge in regard to this crime, the parents, relatives, the neighbors, and the construction workers who were building in the neighborhood. And I don't want to reveal every information about this crime because we are still investigating. So I urge you not to rush to social media with information.
Malok says the police will soon brief President Kiir on the latest information as the nation grieves for the three children. National Police Service spokesman Major General Daniel Justin says all police officers are dedicating their time to ensure the criminals are brought to book.
It will not take us long because we are determined to make sure that the suspect is brought to book. Yes, the incident was actually very brutal. It is not... We don't have it in our records, such cases, so it is something new, and we are going to handle it thoroughly with all our facilities to make sure that this case is, the suspect is brought to book.
Justin called on the public to trust the police and its investigation of the child murders, emphasizing that the killers will be brought to justice. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
A police official in Jambol says a group of armed men freed more than 40 people who were abducted a week ago in separate ambushes on the Juba Mundri Road. The police director in Jambol area of Western Equatorial State says the freed abductees have returned home. For VOA News, Lasuba Memo reports from Juba.
Lieutenant Samuel Genazio, the head of police in Western Equatorial State, Jambol area, tells South Sudan in Focus the armed men set on fire 6 vehicles, 3 passenger vehicles and 3 lorry trucks last week along the Juba-Mundri route, about 15 miles from the capital. He says the 45 people traveling in those vehicles were abducted in two separate attacks last week. The abductees included two children. Genazio says the unidentified armed men freed all 45 people 2 days ago in Mundri.
All of them were freed. As I speak to you, two of those freed were with me, but they left this morning. One of them went to Boaji. This is what happened. They said those who took them are the forces of Kenyi Luborong.
Genazio says some of the freed captives went toward Rokon and Mundri, while others returned to Juba. Alison Warile owned a Toyota Land Cruiser which was set on fire. He says his driver and 13 passengers were among those freed by the armed men. He says three female passengers were transported to Luri by members of the organized forces on Friday.
11 of them are all men now footing from Ceremony to Luri, then to Juba. According to what I heard was that all their shoes, pair of shoes had been removed. So they were actually walking in the forest with their shoes. So there were a lot of thorns which break them. That's why I think they stayed 2 days in Ceremony. And by coming from Ceremony, maybe 5 miles away up to Luri.
Warile says the 11 set off for Juba on foot because there are no passenger service vehicles on the road due to insecurity in the area. Sadiq Sam, who drove one of Warile's vehicles before it was burnt, arrived in Juba with 13 other people on Friday.
It is true, we came barefoot. Everyone has thorn in their legs. As I'm talking, I'm lying down because my legs are paining because of the long journey, and there are thorns on my feet too.
Sam says the travelers were ambushed and unidentified armed men confiscated their phones and removed their shoes. He says they wandered in the bush for 10 days. Warile says he does not understand why armed men would burn his car.
It is a valuable car rendering services to the people of Sang Amadi State.
Right.
By losing it, it is really very painful because the community will not have more cars to serve them in the area. And for me, it is one of sources of my livelihood. So we are extremely sorry, and it was very unfortunate for armed men to burn, destroy a vehicle which does not carry any weapon. It is a civilian weapon. The driver is a civilian. The passengers are all civilian.
Warile says the Juba-Mundri road used to be safe to travel, but insecurity has intensified in recent weeks with frequent road ambushes. Ask about a possible motive for the road ambushes. First Lieutenant Genazio says the abductees told police the armed men warned them not to use the road again. He says their intention is to stop the movement of people and goods on the road. Sam says he will never risk again using the road.
This road, I will never use it anymore, because they told us that those who came to Juba should remain in Juba, and those who went to the villages should remain there.
Sam says the armed men said their aim is to target government vehicles and officials using the road. Repeated calls to army spokesman Lulrai Kwong to comment on this story went unanswered. For VOA News, I am Lesuba Memo in Juba.
Sudan's transitional government has welcomed statements by United States Senator Chris Coons and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo that the Trump administration is working to remove Sudan from the list of state sponsors of terrorism and help the transitional government build a democratic society in Sudan. The statements were made during the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee hearing on Thursday. Sudanese Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok reiterated his government's commitment to work with the Trump administration to fulfill all requirements for removing Sudan from the list of countries sponsoring terror groups. For VOA News, Nabil Biagio reports from Washington.
Democratic Delaware Senator Chris Coons took a moment during Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's testimony on a proposed 2021 budget to announce that he and other U.S. lawmakers are working to remove Sudan from the state sponsors of terrorism designation.
I'm working with members of this committee and your department to resolve terrorism-related claims against Sudan, which is in the middle of a critical democratic transition, to provide justice and compensation for over 700 terror victims and their family members, and to move our bilateral relationship forward after 30 years under the brutal dictatorship of Omar al-Bashir.
The U.S. designated Sudan a state sponsor of terrorism in 1993 for its support for international terrorism, including hosting al-Qaeda's leader Osama bin Laden in the early 1990s. Coons called on Pompeo to speed up the process of compensating the victims of the terrorist attacks on U.S. embassies in Nairobi and Dar es Salaam in 1998, acts which Sudan was implicated in, so that the U.S. can normalize diplomatic relations with Sudan.
I just want to urge you and the administration to do everything you can to support Prime Minister Hamdok and to make sure that we seize this opportunity to bring real justice to the victims and their American families and foreign nationals involved, and to build a new democratic partner in the region.
Sudan's government announced 3 months ago, and 1 year after the ouster of President Omar al-Bashir, that the Trump administration approved the appointment of Sudanese diplomat Nureddin Sati as Sudan's ambassador to the U.S. after more than 2 decades of bad relations between the two countries. Pompeo says the Trump administration is working to finalize legislation that will be sent to Congress to allow the settlement of terrorist claims against Sudan. He says the White House wants to remove Sudan from the list of state sponsors of terrorism.
This is an opportunity that doesn't come along often. We all know the history of Sudan and the tragedy there. There's a chance not only for democracy to begun to be built out, but perhaps regional opportunities that could flow from that as well. And I think lifting the state sponsor of terrorism designation there, if we can take care of the victims of those tragedies, would be a good thing for American foreign policy, and I appreciate your assistance in that regard.
U.S.-based political analyst Suleiman Baldo says statements made by Pompeo and Coons indicate the terror designation for Sudan may soon be a thing of the past.
The statement by Senator Coons on Thursday before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee in the hearing with State Department Secretary Pompeo was probably one of the strongest and clearest signals that many in the Congress, Senate and Congress are really working hard to put an end to the designation of Sudan as a state sponsor of terrorism.
Baldo says the move would go a long way toward helping the transitional government achieve lasting peace.
This is an opportunity to really support the orientation of Sudan and the demand of its population for democracy, rule of law, and lasting peace in the country. And therefore, one of the impediments for the realization of this expectation is the continued designation of Sudan as the state sponsor of terrorism, despite the fact that the government that has been responsible for the support of international terrorism has been deposed by a popular pro-democracy movement more than a year ago.
U.S. officials did not offer a date as to when Sudan might be taken off the list of state sponsors of terrorism. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Sudanese leader accuses politicians for fueling tribal conflicts in Darfur. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you correct friends and loved ones?
I tell them the truth, because when I hide it, sometimes I have to tell them again and explain, which is not so fun. Yeah, it's easier for everyone.
You tell him what you have done is wrong. Next time, don't do like this, according to what he has done.
The first step I do actually is that I talk to the person, I sit back a little bit to be able to ascertain if it really went down with the person. To give the person a breathing space, just to ponder about whatever I said, and in the course of time to allow process to have its way.
When they go wrong, I call them aside and talk to them. I tell them their behavior is very bad, so they need to stay away from it. And some of them get angry, but I don't care.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The leader of the Sudanese paramilitary rapid support forces is accusing some unnamed political forces of fueling tribal conflict in Sudan's Darfur region. Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, who is also a member of Sudan's Sovereign Council, says the transitional government is determined to restore lasting peace in the country. Dagalo vowed to defend the transitional period until national elections are held in Sudan. For VOA News, Michael Ati reports from Khartoum.
Addressing hundreds of his forces in Khartoum South after Eid al-Adha prayers over the weekend, Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, referred to as Himeti locally, accused unnamed internal political forces of fueling tribal conflict in Darfur, South Kordofan and Eastern Sudan. Speaking in Arabic, Himeti describes the ongoing violence in the Darfur region as manufactured by anti-peace elements who, he says, are trying to destabilize the country by inciting local ethnic groups against each other over land issues.
You are all aware of the ongoing conflict in Jenina in West Darfur, in North Darfur, and just yesterday a communal fighting in South Darfur. People are fighting over land issues. We have a vast fertile land. You can even go for 3 to 4 days without seeing anybody, and yet our people are killing themselves over land. This is an organized plan by some individuals.
About 2 weeks ago, more than 60 people were killed and dozens of others wounded in deadly tribal violence in Misteri village of West Darfur State. Some parts of North, South and Central Darfur have also witnessed attacks on civilians with dozens of people killed. Himeti vowed to continue working with allies of Sudan to end violence in Darfur and restore lasting peace in the entire country.
We have realized that our partners in the international community are supporting our efforts for peace in Sudan. But to our dismay, there are internal elements that are working to block these efforts. What's going on in Darfur is a part of their negative plan against peace. The peace process that is underway in Juba, they don't want to see it succeed. I don't know what they will benefit and why they are standing against peace.
Himeti called on traditional leaders, especially in the conflict-affected regions, to stand alongside the transitional government to bring lasting peace in the country. He appeals to Sudanese citizens to embrace one another and work to develop Sudan after decades of destruction. He also urged local leaders to compromise and accept one another for the sake of peace.
Do not give that chance to criminals who are planning to destroy you. Their main goal is to take you and the entire region to war again. We want you to prove them wrong. My appeal to our people in South Kordofan and East Sudan, please refrain from violence. All these tribal conflicts are manufactured.
Himeti says he believes the Omar al-Bashir's administration used the country's resources excessively in war, but with no gain, but says Sudan has entered a new era.
Sudan is large and therefore we all need to accept one another. We need to protect each other and to see how we can develop this country. Sudan is rich in resources, and unless we agree to live together, we will not benefit from these resources. There is a need to have a clear plan, vision, and stability in this country. Otherwise, no investors shall risk their resources to come over here.
Some international human rights groups have accused the Sudanese leader of committing crimes against civilians in Darfur during Omar al-Bashir's administration. The Rapid Support Forces, which he heads, are also believed to have participated in crackdown on peaceful protesters in Khartoum on June 3, 2019, during which Human Rights Watch says at least 120 people were killed and hundreds wounded. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
There are growing concerns among Cameroonians that their government and military are undermining the war against Boko Haram terrorists in the northern part of the country. Civilians and experts have criticized the authorities' handling of the threat after suspected Boko Haram militants attacked on Sunday and killed 17 people and wounded 6 others in a camp for displaced people. Cameroon military rejects the criticism but admits the Nigerian-based terrorist group is increasing the frequency of its attacks. Muki Edwin Kinzeka reports from Yaoundé.
Usmanu Sani, head of the Ngwechewe village community near Cameroon's northern town of Mozugu, says they have been counting on community militias for protection from Boko Haram. The 62-year-old says the military presence in the locality has been reduced significantly and their porous border with Nigerian villages is no longer controlled regularly. He spoke via a messaging application from Mozogo. Sani says the population can bear him witness that only poorly equipped vigilantes are seen most of the time carrying out patrols to protect civilians. He says if the military is stressed, the government should recruit and train vigilante group members who are ready to protect their communities. Sani said the absence of the military from 5 of the 6 border control posts may have encouraged suspected Boko Haram militants to attack their locality over the weekend. Cameroon military acknowledged that several Boko Haram fighters, including women, crossed over from Nigeria and attacked an IDP camp at Ngwechewe village. The military, in a statement, said several people either died or were wounded in the attack but did not give figures. Sani said 15 villagers died on the spot and one in a local hospital. He said 6 others were wounded in the grenade attack and more than 70 had fled for safety in neighboring bushes. The fresh attack took place less than a month after Cameroon Chief of Defense Staff, Lieutenant General René Claude Meka, visited northern Cameroon. He says he went to galvanize his troops fighting Boko Haram terrorism. He refuses claims that the military has withdrawn from many of its positions on Cameroon's northern border with Nigeria.
Il travaille bien avec efficacité et professionnalisme.
Meka says the Cameroon military is effectively at work protecting all citizens, their properties and public edifices from the terror group. He says he visits the troops regularly to see if there are adjustments to be done for the military to be more professional in its strategies against Boko Haram. Conflict resolution specialist Jean-Vincent Ntuda Ebode of the University of Yaoundé 1 says Cameroon military should not think that it has defeated Boko Haram. He says although the terrorist group is weakened, it is still very much present in northern Cameroon, Nigeria and Chad.
Pour endiguer ce terrorisme, il faut tenir compte de ce qui
he says to reduce renewed attacks, the Cameroon military must take into consideration that poor, hungry and disgruntled people are being used as informants by Boko Haram fighters. He says it is imperative for the Cameroon military to take appropriate measures and secure all civilians and infrastructure that can be targets of the terrorist group. He says Boko Haram is already weak and may resort to attacking civilians, refugees and humanitarian workers to send a message that it has not been completely eradicated. Cameroon reports that since January this year, it has recorded 87 Boko Haram attacks on its northern border with Nigeria. 22 of them were in the northern district of Mozogo alone. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Modu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Jere Jere by Dynamic.
All right, Sudanese child. ooh yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh yeah, Ruka music. Auma. Yeah. Jere jere vidunia de
jere jere
sibuna si sambala
jere jere
suatata dunia de
suatata suatata
nasi mutu sambala
suatata
sunu batal vidunia de mama
sunu batal
nasi maderu geni sawa
sunu batal
wenu salam takulio
wenu Wenu sala
nasi maderu geni sawa
Wenu sala
jiran bada mashaki
jiran bada mashaki
asana nami lotuko
lotuko lotuko yeah
do you faba jafibe
fibe
asana nami lokoya
lokoya lokoya ya
jere jere bidunia de
jere jere
Sibuna si sambala
Jere jere
Suatata dunia de mama
Suatata
Nasi mutu sambala
Suatata
Police dugu wana kofsaki Galia na mina Amerika
Galia na mina Amerika
Siti muwana sakit eh mama
Siti muwana yeah, yeah. Sakit
Galia na wewe mini Uganda
Chambutungende Kampara
Jirana bafata ba
Kuflu
yeah, yeah. Asana na mindidinga
Madi mundari kuku
Durujua na minshukul
Durujua na saji
Asana na minuba
Bari acholi
Jere jere bidunia de
Jere jere
Sibuna si sambala
Jere jere
Suatata dunia de
Suata, suata
Nasi mutu sambala
Suata
Victor Raba ainuana Asan guru stai makifaya Medersa aba registration Hakuma aba sauduana Akil kala sufi bet Kojoron kulu seregu
We've been listening to Dynamic with the song Jere Jere. I'm John Tanz in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your vehicles and homes. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Sanuma taika wata
Sande dinkanwe
Atakuwa na kulio mama Asaluku titaike bie
Oma kutufogo mile
Apa uwa na fire dio
Abu Taymin Khartoum. George.